Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 79, the Not Much Got Done on the Ranch this week episode. I had a little bug, pretty minor, just slowed me down a bit. I whine about it plenty later on in this episode, so I won't dwell here. But I didn't get as much done as I really wanted to, and it frustrated me. I did a lot of dreaming, I did a lot of magazine and book reading, and that was fun, and I enjoyed that. I'm really happy that it's the weekend, which it is, it's Friday. It's Friday, March 16th. Not being a Thursday girl this week, I'm afraid. But it's Friday. Pam, sorry to step on your toes. And here I am, looking forward to the weekend. Have nothing to do tomorrow. Already got my grocery shopping done. Lacrosse season doesn't actually start till next weekend. And it's a rare opportunity tomorrow to not do anything. I mean, I'll do stuff. But it's neat to be able to decide what I want to do instead of having the things thrust upon me like lacrosse games, which I actually like because I know a lot of the parents and, you know, you spend about 3 minutes watching the game. And the game of lacrosse is, you know, it's interesting. It's a beautiful sport in some ways, but I enjoy just catching up with my friends. When in a basketball, we didn't have any basketball parent friends, so that was less fun and more stressful. Anyway, it's the weekend, and I am going to do all sorts of good quilty things, which I'll talk about next week. And in the meantime, I am excited right now about it's National Quilting Month, and this weekend is a big quilty weekend. You've probably heard that Seamed Up is doing a big sew-in tomorrow on Saturday. Have to talk a minute about Seamed Up. Very excited about Seamed Up. I hadn't checked it out in a while. I mean, I always thought it was a neat idea. It was like, yay, guys, for starting this. And always supported it, but you know, my online life, I go in and out, up and down. I go in cycles. So I hadn't looked at it a while, and then Quilting Jenny, who's very involved over there, asked me to write a blog post. She actually asked a while back, and then I finally, last week I think, finally emailed her back and said, I'll do it, sorry. And she was very nice and said, oh, don't worry about it, just do it when you can. So I worked on it this week, and I just sent it to Jenny today. I hope it's what she wants. In any event, I ended up, of course, going over to Seamed Up and seeing what the girls have been up to, and they've been up to an awful lot. It's really neat. It's a fun site. If you haven't checked it out lately, you ought to. The exciting thing, you know, they do a podcast, and this week, Pam of Hip to Be Square is their guest. Yay! I haven't listened to it yet. I'm looking forward to doing so. And Sandy just posted a guest blog post there in the last couple of days. Very fun. So check out Seamed Up, and kudos to all the Seamed Up girls. I want to say thanks to everyone who took time to comment on last week's episode. I want to say thanks to Laura and Joni Marie, who not only left a kind and very interesting comment about weight loss and exercise. She has been working with a physician, has lost 30 pounds. Way to go, Joni Marie. And was very informative on the issue of lifting weights and increasing muscle mass. And that was great. That was very timely because I have not been doing my weightlifting and keep thinking, oh, I need to get back to this. And Joni Marie's comment really has pushed me into thinking, yes, I need to get back to this as soon as I get back to the gym, which I hope will be tomorrow. Thanks, too, to Joni Marie for sending me an article from the New York Times about student athletes. Really interesting stuff. I had brought this up a few weeks ago, and there was a piece, I don't know if it was in today's paper or yesterday's, about student athletes and whether they're students or whether they're athletes. And it really kind of depends on the sport. If it's a major program and a major sports school, they're more athletes. And that brings up interesting issues. I heard from the lovely quilter Caroline and Celia, who's in Australia. So fun. And both of them, by the way, recommended the free Block of the Month Club from Craftsy, because they know I like doing blocks. And thank you for that. My mom had mentioned that too, and I really need to get on that boat because they do videos, and that would be very helpful. I heard from Kari, I left you a comment on Flickr. She was commenting about my comments on precision, and she gave me a link to her Flickr page or site or whatever Flickr is, her Flickr album, to see a string quilt that she's working on, which is adorable, but also brings up issues of precision, which, and obviously, Kari, totally relate to that. Heard from Kelly the Fifth, and... Well, it has another good precision story about making a quilt in which no points matched. She said individually, the blocks she made for this quilt, they were good, but sewn together, no points matched. And you know what? She made this for a baby. Baby's dad said it was art. That's right, Kelly V. It's art. Let's keep our eyes on that prize. Heard from Jay, who helped me out saying the word I was thinking of. I was talking about warp and weft, except I couldn't think of the word weft. The word was weft. Thank you, Jay. And she said hexagons have a lot of bias. And if you want to control the bias, you need Mary Ellen's Best Press. And I do have some now. And I will carefully apply it as I continue with my hexagon quilt, which I've not finished piecing, but tonight, baby, tonight. Heard from the lovely Miss Victoria over at Peacebrook Quilting, who suggested that Travis, she's, I think, commenting on episode 66, where I had a picture of Travis on the website, did not look like his bark. And I think that's interesting. I have to ponder that. Heard from Terry, who let me know that her name, which is spelled T-E-R-J-E, is actually pronounced Terry. Thank you. I have to say, she said the nicest thing, that my books, or one of my books, was largely responsible for transforming her reluctant younger reader son into a voracious teen reader, which as a writer is like the best thing you can ever hear, believe me. So thank you, Terry, for letting me know that. Heard from the wonderful Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us, who is very supportive of my hexagons and reminding me that I am challenging myself, and that's what's important, and that's why I'm feeling frustrated. Thank you, Sandy. I heard from Cora, who said, this is good. She said, I think you mentioned this episode that you found some fabric at Undercover Quilts, and I did via eBay. She writes, I was there this past summer in Seattle. It is a lovely shop with wonderful people. One of the first quilt shops I ever visited since I started quilting last year. So, wow, if you guys are in Seattle, go to Undercover Quilts because I love them. Because service-wise, amazing. And finally, I heard from Tori, who I got to visit with this past Monday, before I got sick. And Tori, I really hope I did not make you sick. We had such a great visit. And I got to meet her family, lovely people. So thanks for that, Tori. And I think I talk about it a little bit more later on. Thank you to everyone. Oh, don't want to forget this. I need to thank Dr. Molly, the Bean Queen. She actually commented to Pam over at Hip to Be a Square because she couldn't remember where she heard someone talking about Grandma's Attic. And was it a brick and mortar store? Was it just an online store? It's in Oregon. Did I say that right, Kari? Oregon. And she says, in fact, it is a brick and mortar store. So if you live, she even gave the address in Dallas, Oregon, or near Dallas, Oregon. I still don't think I'm saying that right. Go to this store and check it out and let me know if you can pick up some fabric for me. Okay, we're getting on 40 minutes. It's time to get onto the Quilt Diaries. Thank you to, and I do mean everyone, who took time to comment this week. I really appreciate it. Send me your comments. Send me your emails, fdal@nc.rr.com. I think I put the information for where to comment later in the podcast, and I keep repeating that information, so you'll have to listen to the whole thing if you want to know where to comment, but I hope you will come by and comment. Got some new iTunes reviews. Thank you so much. You're very kind. All right, on with Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1, Monday, March 12th, back into that daylight savings time, or standard time. I don't know what time it is. No one does. We're all just tired. And for us, the Dow family, we are back from spring break. Had a great trip to Charleston. Really interesting stuff. It's a pretty city. It is a city that seems to be in total denial about the huge role it played in the slave trade in the 1800s and 1700s too, I guess. But nonetheless, a very charming city, despite the fact that it's really weird about slavery. I mean, it was a huge port. So many slaves came into this country through Charleston, and yet there seems to be very little. It's like it's acknowledged, but what's more important, the silver, the dresses, it's the South. Come feel the Southern breeze flowing through your hair. Oh, don't you love the South? And it's like, I don't love the South in denial. I do love the South, but I don't love it in denial. And Charleston feels to me like a city kind of in denial. It's like, we love the Old South, but not slavery, not that part of it, but we love everything else. You're like, see, the Old South, it only could have existed through slavery. You can't have one without the other. So anyway, but we did have a good time. And on Friday, Jack and I went to see a play in North Charleston, actually Mount Pleasant. We stayed in Mount Pleasant, which is like 5 minutes away from Charleston. And Charleston is very small. It's only 120,000 people. Durham is bigger than Charleston. So Jack and I went to see Horton Foote's, The Trip to Bountiful. It was wonderful. It was such a wonderful production. And the theater was like in this little shopping center. It was probably used to be a, you know, athletic foot store or something. I don't know, but it was great. The scenery was great. The acting was so good. And Jack enjoyed it. We were a little concerned. It's like, you know, this is a play about an old lady wanting to go back to her childhood home. And he was up for it. He tends to really enjoy theater. So we had a great time. The man took Will to see The Lorax. In 3D. They had a great time. So that was fun. Went to Fort Sumter. Very interesting. Went to Boone Hall Plantation. Saw a very wonderful presentation on the Gullah culture, which is the African-American culture in along the Southeast, but particularly, it's a particularly strong culture in South Carolina. A lot of slaves came from West Africa. A lot of people were brought into slavery from West Africa. To grow rice, because they grew rice where they lived, so they were captured and brought over to South Carolina, and just a lot of interest, brought a lot of their own culture with them. So that's all interesting stuff. It was a good trip. Everyone did really well. The boys did really well. So fun. Today, this morning, I had the great pleasure of meeting with Tori, who's a listener to not just the Off Kilter Quilt, but I think a lot of different podcasts. Of course, a quilter. She and her family were there from Maryland, came down for a wedding to bring their daughter from spring break back to North Carolina State, where she is a junior in college. And we got together, Tori and her wonderful husband, Kurt, and their very charming son, Eric. I have to tell you, Eric was so impressive. Ninth grader, he talked. He laughed. He was charming, but very real, not a fake charm, just very comfortable being with people, being with adults. And that to me, as the mother of an almost 13-year-old, was comforting and assuring and gave me hope. So thank you, Eric. But really a wonderful visit. And Tori brought me a good present that I'm going to talk about here in a minute. Just had a great time. So thanks, Tori, for making the time to stop by in Durham. Durham welcomes you. Let's see, when I was in Charleston, I went to a quilt shop. It's called People, Places, and Quilts. I took several pictures of the outside. Maybe I'll put one of them up. And just a lovely little shop. Had a special section with Aborigine quilts, quilts from Australia. I don't know. There wasn't a lot of information. In fact, I need to go onto the website and find out. I just kind of popped in and popped out, so I didn't have a lot of time to talk, but I did buy some very cool-looking Australian Aboriginal fabrics. I don't know if the Aborigines made them. That's what I guess what I'm trying to say and what I need to find out. But it was neat. It also had a lot of 1800s style reproduction, Civil War reproduction fabrics. Had two Block of the Month clubs going, which I thought was very cool. A very nice proprietor and just a lovely spot. So thank you to April for recommending it. She also recommended Jack's Cosmic Dogs, but unfortunately we were not able to get there. We did eat some very good barbecue out on Sullivan's Island. The other thing on my list for today to tell you about is my Bear Paw block, which I have come up with an idea for. And I got this idea. I stole it. Okay, so I got this email the other day from Quilting Daily Week in Review, and it reviewed Quilting Modern, which is a new book that's coming out. They say it's coming out in April. They say it's available this month, which would be March, and according to Amazon, it's not available till April. So I don't know which is right, but it's coming. Quilting Modern, Techniques and Projects for Improvisational Quilts by Jackie Gehring and Katie Peterson. And I was looking at some of the pictures that were on the Quilting Daily Week in Review site, and one of them is called a Supernova Quilt. And it made me just want to get the book just to make this quilt. It's really cool looking. And at the center, so supernova, imagine an exploding star. And I don't know how well I'm going to be able to describe it. Color-wise, very center, yellow, then some purple, then some white. Then imagine these colors exploding out. Yellow exploding out of the white, and then more purple exploding out of the yellow. And then on a white background, little pieces that kind of look like confetti of purple and yellow. And it looks really, really cool. And the quilting is really cool. And I thought, that's really neat. The use of white is really neat. The outer white. And with the confetti, like, which is just sort of the pieces of the star exploding off into space. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I could use my bear paw. I keep wanting to say bear claw, but my book calls it a bear paw, although it does have claws, it seems to. And start with that, and that's a 12-inch block, and then make smaller paws that go off into the white in various directions. And not necessarily blocks of paws, but single paws. And then maybe at the very outer reaches of the white background, there will be just the claws. I don't want to make it look like the paws have been declawed, though. But just, you know, but don't know if I'm describing this well. But I'm interested in trying it to some extent just for the sake of trying it. Just like I have this vision. I love the idea of this intense color in the middle and then it kind of exploding and bits and pieces of color exploding across the white. So anyway, I have in front of me four little paws that I've made. These are the, seven-inch. Is that right? No, the 8 3/4-inch paws. I made four of them. So they're actually 1/4 of 8 3/4. I'm going to let you do that math, how big these are. So if they were all put together, they would make an 8 3/4 block. But they're not going to be put together. They're going to be walking all over this quilt. We'll see. I've got this idea that what I'm going to work on are several different quilts at once. Obviously, I'm doing various blocks. Jay and I need to get back in the saddle and on our sampler quilt. And I know I'll say this, and then Jay will email or comment and say, all right, just tell me when. And I'll be like, I don't know. Not for a few weeks. I think maybe in May. So sampler. And then my grandma's attic block of the month, kind of continue working with that. Maybe work on, sorry, that was Travis barking at Will, who was coming in from the back. Anyway, so work on my sampler quilt. Maybe work on what I would call a conventional quilt, perhaps a quilt from a pattern in a book that I really like. I have put on hold a bunch of books about scrap quilts, since I have lots of scraps, but also work on a more experimental quilt and try my own designs and mess around with stuff. So just a more playful quilt that may or may not work. You just don't know. And if it doesn't work, I can put it out by the side of the road and say, take this quilt for free. Go to that plan. I don't know, but I'm kind of excited about that. I'm excited about messing around with my bear paw. I'm excited about having a concept and playing with that concept. We'll see how it works. So that's it for today, and I hope to have much more news for you soon. I hope to actually, yes, that's right, sew the binding on the Sawtooth Star quilt, which I have not done, which quite frankly is pathetic. I know, but I'm just doing other things. And that's how it goes. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I almost forgot to tell you what Tori brought me. This is the coolest thing. So this is from a fabric store she visited in Fayetteville, North Carolina, called Loving Stitches. I've not been there. Tori says it's fantastic, worth the trip. And it is a red paper binder or folder. And on the outside it says Cold Case Files, case number 254. 4 case files, 3 suspects, 1 accomplice. This is so cool. The contents of the cold case file. Patterns for 4 different 12-inch quilt blocks. Each pattern comes with 3 fabric cuts to make that block. When completed, you will have 4 different blocks that match. Put your blocks together using the half-yard coordinating fabric, which is included. The suspects in this case have been described as muted and floral, and they're darling fabrics. It's so cute and such a great idea. Now, when you look inside, they're actually pieces of paper that have been folded over and stapled, and inside the paper is fabric for the block, and outside is the pattern. For instance, this says month 1, Barbara Fritchie Star, and then we've got month 10, Summer Winds. So from what I understand, essentially these are block of the month club patterns left over. And so they've just found this different way of kind of selling them, marketing them, that is so darling. You can hardly stand it. What a great idea. This sounds like a great store. And I have to say, you know, I love Thimble Pleasures. I love it, love it, love it. It's a wonderful, amazing, magnificent store. But they don't do fun stuff like this so much. Like, they don't have a Block of the Month Club. And I wish they did. I wish they did a little bit more like that, that was fun. The quilt shop I went to in Charleston had two Block of the Month Clubs. I think one was more traditional blocks and the other were applique blocks. I mean, that's really neat. And I don't know, maybe I'll suggest it. I spend enough money at Thimble Pleasures, you'd think they would listen to me. So I just want to tell you about that and say thanks again to Tori, because it is the coolest thing and it's just great. It's just right up my alley. So, very cool. More later. Quilt Diary, Day 2. It's Thursday, March 15th. It's the Ides. It's the Ides of March. Hello. This is only my second Quilt Diary because got another bug. Yep. Who gave it to me? One of my children, of course. Jack has brought it home. We think maybe Will brought it home first. We're not sure. But definitely when we got home from Charleston, Jack was not feeling well Sunday night. And sure enough, he had a fever and his stomach hurt and he had a sore throat. And sure enough, Monday night I was at my Bible study over Duke and all of a sudden I started feeling really hot. And they're like, Francis, you're all flushed. I'm like, yeah, great. So not a terrible bug. I've had worse. I've had much worse. And I'm feeling better today. But I have not done a lot of quilt diaries or much quilting, although I am happy to say that I have finally started binding the sawtooth quilt and the sawtooth star quilt, I should say, and hope to have it done, if not tonight, then tomorrow, because I really want to get it hung. The living room wall needs it. It just does. It's calling out. It's crying out for this quilt, so I'm going to get that done. You know, I had this plan for today that, well, let me back up. Probably some of you listening remember Patchwork and Pacifiers with the wonderful Jennifer, who is no longer podcasting, although I think her podcasts are still up. I'd have to go check. But she was one of the first quilt podcasts that I listened to, and I think is somewhat responsible for me just going from being a sometime quilter to someone who quilted all the time, just in part because, and I just wrote about this, a blog post for Seamed Up. So I won't go into it too much. Well, by the time you listen to it, it may have already been posted. But essentially, I really feel there's a connection between my online quilting life and my enthusiasm for quilting, and particularly connection between podcasts and quilting. So what Jennifer used to do that I loved, she would get new quilting magazines, and she would just sit down and start going through and say, yeah, I might do this quilt. It's a so-and-so, such-and-such. Yeah, I could see, you know. And I loved it. I thought it was so fun. Now, I'm a magazine lover. I go through cycles. So sometimes I'm like, I have to buy every quilt magazine I see. And then other times, I'm just like not in the mood. And I'm pretty good about knowing when I'm not in the mood. Because sometimes, I love magazines in general. Sometimes I'm just like, I just want a magazine. And I'll look at a quilt magazine. You know, you're just not in the mood for this. Get something else. Buy the Atlantic. I love the Atlantic. I only ever read half the articles, but I do love the Atlantic. So I'll get that. But lately, I've been in a magazine mood. And I just timed this just right. I was at Joann's and they had like, maybe it was the February issue or February, March issue of Quilter's Newsletter. And then I went to Barnes & Noble today and they had the most recent Quilter's Newsletter. So I'm like, great, I've gotten two Quilter's Newsletters within days of one another. And, you know, I love that magazine. But today, you know, I've been sick, and I had a bad day yesterday. I might talk about it. I might not. I don't know. It's not horrible. Just, you know, just I really didn't feel well, and there were complications in terms of school life and all this stuff. I don't know if I'm going to talk about it or not, but nothing major. But just when you feel sick and then you have a problem, sometimes you might overreact and start yelling at people. That's all I'm saying. That's enough. Today I'm like, I'm going to go buy a magazine. I just did. I just thought, you know, I had a bad day. I deserve a magazine. And I've been thinking for a long time that I really wanted to buy a copy of this magazine that comes out of the UK called Quilt Mania, the quilt magazine. But, you know, it's a little bit expensive. It's $11.99, although if you think of it in pounds, it's not that expensive. It's only $6.50 in pounds, so let's think of it in pounds. And that's, you know, that's a little steep for a magazine. I have I do from time to time buy UK magazines because, you know what? I have to say, in some ways, they're kind of better than ours. Like, their Country Living is so cool. Not that I actually subscribe to American Country Living and I enjoy it, but the UK Country Living, because, you know, it's in the UK, it's England, a very sunny England, but England nonetheless. So every once in a while, I splurge on that. And I see they have their spring issue out, and it just looks grand. We'll see. I don't know. Anyway, so I thought, I will buy Quilt Mania. And by the way, as a writer, buy these magazines, save the receipts, write them off on my taxes. That you know, and when you write stuff off on your taxes, it doesn't actually mean you get it for free, but you do get a little, you know, it's how every bit helps. That's it. So yes, as a writer, you see, I take all this stuff in and then it comes out of my writing. Yes, wonderful. Anyway, so that's, you know, part of my rationalization. So I thought, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to do what Jennifer used to do that I loved, which was talk about the magazine, sort of leafing through a magazine and talking about it. I think there should be more of this. Now, this to you, you may be thinking, wow, that is the worst idea ever. Please do not do this. And, you know, I don't think I actually am going to do it. I might another time. But anyway, but as a magazine lover, I would love for there just to be podcasts of people saying, all right, we've got this week's New Yorker. Let's just sit down and go through and I'm going to discuss and you can comment. I would love that. Well, I don't subscribe to the New Yorker anymore because I thought it got really boring. My friend Danielle subscribes and she just gives me her old issues. So it works out. And I still find it really boring. I mean, I subscribed for a long time and then I just realized I wasn't reading it. Every once in a while, there's a killer article. And then I'll buy it on the newsstand or get it from Danielle. But for the most part, no, I don't miss it. Anyway, so I started looking at this. I just sat down, start looking through my Quilt Mania. First of all, I have to tell you, the letter from the editor, Carol, I adore her already. You know, she's writing about communication and about how this was the year she was going to really get into social networking and blogs and all of that. This was her year for like figuring this stuff out. But her editorial ends up being like this whole diatribe against this stuff, like how it just eats into people's lives. And, you know, while she was trying to get caught up on the blogs and all this and that, that she wasn't making anything. And it was all just about being online. And it's just cranky in a way that I personally adore. And I just thought, no American magazine would ever run this editorial. No American quilting magazine, definitely not. All the letters from the editors are always very chirpy and cheerful, and it makes you kind of think, wow, am I really a quilter? Because I do not relate to these people, who I'm sure are probably really nice and funny and cranky in real life, but for whatever reason, they can't write funny, cranky letters to the editor, or letters from the editor. So they just write about cheerful stuff like, oh, you know, let's all applique. It's not as hard as you think. Just like, fine, honey, whatever. You know, I mean, you should just skip them. But this was really funny and cranky. And like, to me, that's like catnip right there. So I was like, this is a cool magazine. I wonder what it would cost to subscribe. I mean, just $1 million. The first article is about this group like in Canberra, which I think, yeah, Sydney, so 300 kilometers southeast of Sydney. By the way, they use the verb shall very much in here, and I like that. Anyway, yes, so it's about meet the secret sewing sisters. It all started when Di Ford had a shop in Canberra, about 300 kilometers southeast of Sydney. So it's just about a group of women who get together, and they kind of, they travel far to meet one another. I think it's 11 or 12 women. And I'm looking at the quilts, and they're amazing. They're, you know, and they're color. So first of all, I have to say this magazine does an amazing job of showing quilts. Amazing job of labeling. Now, you know my powers of description orally are very weak. As a writer, they're good, but that's because I revise like 10 trillion times so I get it right. But as a speaker, speaking extemporaneously, not so good. But I want to try to tell you how they do this. So I'm thinking of Quilting Newsletter that also often features, always features really interesting quilts to look at, right? These here in Quilt Mania, by the way, which is a great title for a magazine. Let's just get that out of the way. The quilts are bigger. I mean, not literally bigger. The pictures are bigger than typically are in other magazines. What they do, they have a sidebar in which, okay, here on these two pages, it's open, two pages, open-faced. There's five quilts. In the sidebar, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 red blocks labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the same pattern that the quilts are laid out. 3 on the top, 2 on the bottom. Then they also, next to that, they have 1, Jane Austen by Di Ford. 2, Burnt Quilt. So you actually are just, these are these, you know what quilt goes with which title, and you're not going, okay, which one clockwise, and do they mean clockwise across both pages or just clockwise on the left page? No, none of it. It's just like, here, let us give you this gift of you actually knowing which quilt corresponds to which title and which quilter. I mean, I hope I've done some justice to the system, but it's just lovely, and it's all big. You know, the font size, large. So you're not squinting going, who made that and where are they from? Not at all. And the quilts are gorgeous. You know, when I was in Charleston, and I haven't been able to get my Charleston pictures or my picture of me and Tori off my phone, but I will. I went to the Charleston Museum, which mostly featured big rooms of silver, and a very small walkthrough room on slavery. That is the whole Charleston vibe. Anyway, but they did have a big textiles here. Mostly it was clothing, which, by the way, was beautiful. But they had quilts, and these quilts were, like, one was called the Tree of Life, and they're beautiful. They were applique, and they were old, and they were gorgeous. But, you know, sort of with a medallion in the middle, and then various birds and flowers and what applique around. And they were really lovely. And I've never in my life thought about doing a quilt like that. It kind of looks cool. And these quilts in here from the, what are they called? The Secret Sewing Sisters. These quilts, a number of them have that kind of a medallion in the middle, if I'm using the right word, a sort of centerpiece, and then applique, or in some cases patchwork, around it. And they're gorgeous. And then there's an article about the Houston International Quilt Festival. And it's interesting because, now this, I mean, it must have come out early this year or later. Yeah, okay. Because the quilt festival is in November, so this must be a 2012 issue of this magazine. Anyway, one of the things that's interesting is by now I feel like I've seen a lot of pictures of the quilts. So some of these quilts are like, oh, yeah, I know that quilt. And there's a quilt that I feel like I've seen 500 times now. It's the one, I think it's in here, but it's Santa's sleigh and the little elves filling up Santa's sleigh. And it's, you know, on the one hand, it's a gorgeous quilt. On the other hand, I don't really like cartoony stuff. Oh, here it is. The Loading Dock by Mary Bouvier. And it really is beautiful. Her colors are beautiful. The applique is wonderful. It's a gorgeous quilt. It's not my aesthetic. And that's okay, because you know what? It doesn't have to be. You know, Mary Bouvier clearly knows what she's doing. She's clearly really good at what she does. So, but it's just funny because I feel like I've seen that quilt a lot. And there are a number of quilts in here. So that's an interesting thing when you keep up with the magazines. These quilts become familiar to you. But anyway, I'm reading this. So this is, I haven't even gotten through the magazine yet. I mean, I'm on page like 19. And I was like, oh, I have to talk about this. The amazing thing to me, And I am looking at art quilts, but even when I was looking at the more traditional quilts that the Secret Sewing Sisters were doing, it's like, this stuff is gorgeous. This stuff is art, whether they're art quilts or not. And I just feel like, I feel this way about children's pictures, picture books as well. There's so much fantastic art in the world of children's picture books. Not, you know, I mean, there's a lot of not fantastic art, but on the really good stuff, the stuff that's winning the Caldecott Award, amazing, amazing artists at work. And I feel that way about these quilters. I mean, these women, and they're almost always women, are incredible artists. And who is paying attention to them? I don't know. Obviously, the people at Houston are. Obviously, people at Paducah are. Obviously, we are, because we care about it and we love it. But I mean, this stuff is so incredible. And they're doing it with fabric. They're doing some of it with paint, too. Obviously, there's a lot of ways to make a quilt. But just incredible. And, you know, we can talk. We've had discussions before about, you know, quilting. Is it an art? Is it a craft? And, you know, I think probably we're all comfortable saying both. And some quilts feel more craft, craftsman-like, I think. I was thinking today as I was walking, I was thinking about creativity and the creative process, and it's very much a building process, no matter what you're engaged in. And I feel like the creative process covers a lot. You know, scientists are creative. Someone working in a lab is creative. Someone building a machine is creative. And a lot of the creative process is really about taking small units and adding the, and bringing them together to make larger units, and then bringing larger units together to make even larger units, which is, of course, what we do as quilters. And sometimes we follow very traditional patterns, and when we stay, I think, with more traditional patterns and traditional blocks in a traditional way, then you think of quilting as a craft, of following a tradition. And then people do all kinds of wild things, including people do wild stuff with traditional blocks and traditional patterns. And then it becomes this leap of creativity where there's this building process. The creative process is always about building, but there's also something that comes in that we might call the subconscious, the imagination. Some of us would call it God, the Holy Ghost. Some of us just call it luck. You know, there are all kinds of different ways of thinking about this that makes the art, the built thing, larger, more than a sum of its pieces, more than the artist. It becomes something that was very personal and idiosyncratic to the artist. It becomes something that is universal. So, and just looking at these quilts in here, it's just like, wow. Wow. I mean, so many of them are just tremendous. So I'm only not even halfway through this magazine. I'm already just like, wow, it's very inspiring. There's an article about the Texas Quilt Museum, which I think I read about in the Quilters newsletter as well. That's very exciting that they're doing that. I wish we had a quilt museum here. I'm not starting one. That's the kind of thing I think, oh, we should do that. We should have a quilt museum right here in Durham. I'm like, no, 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 no. I mean, we should. I'm not doing it. So anyway, so in my very early perusing of Quilt Mania, I would say worth the $11.99 plus tax. Even better just to think of it as worth the £6.50. Why not? Really neat. So whether or not I'll make perusing magazines like this part of this podcast, I thought I'd give it a try. I don't know. If nothing else, if you're someone's been thinking, well, should I pick that up? It's really expensive. I just think it's worth it. I think it's so well done. I'm really excited about how they present the quilts. Can you hear me flipping through pages? I just am, because the pictures are big and you can really see what you're looking at. So, you know what? It's kind of time for me to make dinner. I don't know if I'm going to get this posted tonight. I actually kind of, maybe because I'm feverishly talking, feeling like, oh, I feel the fever coming back. It'll be gone tomorrow. So I'm going to end up here, but I may not end up getting this posted until tomorrow. We'll see. I have to think about pictures. I don't have much to show you in terms of my own work, but hopefully I might have some pictures of Charleston and a picture of me and the fabulous Miss Tori, who I really enjoyed meeting earlier this week. I hope you're doing fine. I hope you're making time. If it's just 15 minutes that Darla over at Scientific Quilter is encouraging you to do, 15 minutes a day, that's great. I think it counts. You know, I think one thing, if you make it, you like make a goal like 15 minutes a day, you know you'll work more than that. But even 15 minutes a day, again, we're building stuff. We're taking small units and grafting them together to make larger units, and grafting the larger units together to make even a larger unit. All it takes is 15 minutes a day. You can make progress, and progress is always exciting. So, hope you're doing well. Leave a comment if you want. Drop me an email, fdal@nc.rr.com, or come on over to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. I'd love to hear from you. All right, see you next week. Bye.